right, let me confirm. Jed, are you with us? Let me just confirm. Jed, are you with us? Let me just confirm. Jed, are you with us? Okay, we're just going to take just a moment. We're waiting for Jed to join us, and we will formally get started. Let me just double check. We are just at the start of our MediaBids Power Hour. We're just waiting for Jed to join us. And we will formally get started here. And as all of you are getting settled in, you're in the right spot. This is the MediaBids Power Hour. And we are going to formally get started here in just a moment. Let me just double check. Jed, are you with us?
Hey, Ernest, sorry about that. I got trapped. I don't know.
On the rarest of rare occasion.
It might have been my fault. I don't know.
Yeah, and I just have to say, we've rolled along for like 11 years, and I'm like, oh, yeah, Jed's right there. Of you and all of you, we will just suggest that there was a gremlin glitch at the start of our educational teleseminar. We are set and ready to go. This is the MediaBids Power Hour, an educational opportunity for those of you in the media space, whether you're selling ads in print, in your newsletter, on your website, or in all three of those platforms, whether your circulation is paid, controlled, or free, whether you sell ads for a newspaper, a magazine, a specialty, or niche publication, we are delighted that you're here. As we're getting settled in, we're always going to encourage you, find a quiet spot, close your office door. Take a look at the points that we're going to be covering. The more notes you make and the more notes you take, the more we're going to transfer the knowledge to you, infuse the knowledge, and give you tools and strategies that you can use immediately. We call that and consider that the coach or coaching approach. On the other side, it's not an accident that there's not something on your screen that would simply create many tasking or multitasking. So the more notes you make based on all of the research based on adult education and learning, the more the notes that you're taking and making, the more that you will be able to incorporate the pieces that we're going to be covering here today. By way of introduction, I typically go second, but Jed today has lots he's going to be sharing. So I'm going to say, Jed, some opening words, then I'm going to pass the baton to you and have you say some opening words about MediaBids and lead us right into our educational opportunity. We're going to be talking about ad stats, ads results, and why they tell an important story. By way of introduction, my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I began in the ad sales space in 1986, more than a minute ago. I launched three of my own publications. And then went on to become a leader in a billion-dollar media group. I've been around the media space for three-plus decades, and then we launched Power Hour in 1995. We've now coached and guided more than 2,700 ad sales companies and teams and leaders in 14 time zones around the world over the last 24 years, working by phone, working by conference call, much like we do here. In addition, every Tuesday we have an Ad Sales Academy. We just wrapped up week number 305. We meet every Tuesday for about 30 or 40 minutes, and the group gets materials and things to listen to as prep every Monday. If you'd like to learn more, simply come into our website, powerhour.com. We have three goals, Jed and myself, whenever we come into these kinds of teleseminars, and very simply it's this. We hope, number one, to share new ideas with you today, that you'll be able to take those ideas, it'll stretch and spur your thinking, and help you win from a media selling perspective. Number two, if you hear something during the course of this educational teleseminar that you're already doing or you already knew, beautiful. It simply confirms that what you're hearing here matches best practices in our space and sector. The last best and third goal we have is the serendipitous. Serendipitous simply means that while Jed or myself might be talking about a particular point, it's going to spark another thought, maybe related to this or unrelated. That's perfectly fine. We consider those the serendipitous, okay? So without any further ado, Jed, how about some opening words about media biz? Tell us a little bit about what's been cooking around your world, and let's lean right into our subject. We have a lot I know we're going to cover today, okay?
Sure, yeah. Thank you very much, Ernest. And I encourage all of you to check out the Power Hour that Ernest does. He knows an enormous amount about ad selling and print ad sales, so... usually he gives these teleseminars and there's a wealth of knowledge. Once in a while, we do ones where I'm more sharing data from MediaBids, and that's what we're doing today. But Ernest has a lot to offer, as you'll find out next month, because he'll be doing the next month's teleseminar. So my name is Jake Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids. We are a company that's been around for 20 years. I started it after having started a chain of weekly newspapers. I had grown disillusioned with managing salespeople, and I thought, man, there must be a better way to sell ads. There's got to be a way that we can sell ads without using some internet technology, which at that time was, becoming pretty commonplace, right? Like things like Expedia and Travelocity. I figured if I could buy a ticket with two connections to get across the country, I should be able to buy a print ad in, Omaha, right? So I started MediaBids 20 years ago, and we have always had the same goal. The goal is to drive revenue to print publications. We're big believers in print publications and in the services they provide. We're huge fans of the content that they uniquely create. And we very often in our office, sort of go so far as to say that, the ability of our ads to perform, is what democracy is hinging upon, right? Because we believe that strongly that what print publications are doing really hasn't been matched by anything on the internet, and really isn't there's no replacement for it. It's a critical piece of what we are all about in this country. So we're huge fans, and we originally started selling primarily conventional ads, selling ads where we were selling them probably in much the same way that you are, in that we had salespeople and we had different sort of internet tools that we were using, but we were selling ads that advertisers were paying for the space for. Over the last 10 years, we've sort of gradually migrated to more of a performance-based model, and this is not something that we've done because we love performance-based ads, right? We've done it because a lot of the advertisers that we work with really demand it, and as a result, given our goal of driving revenue to print publications, this has sort of offered the biggest opportunity for us to do that, and we've driven a lot of money, over $50 million, to print publications, over the last several years through performance-based ads. It doesn't mean that by listening to this teleseminar that you should subscribe to the performance-based model. I think that there's things you can learn through the tracking that we do on ads that apply to any ad, regardless of sort of how it's being paid for. That becomes really secondary. The primary goal of this teleseminar is just to share with you some of the things that we're learning and to share with you sort of our approach. And we have lots and lots of data.
In 2018, we placed about 390,000 print ads and about 50,000 banner ads in newspapers and magazines all over the United States and Canada. If you take into account multiple runs of the same ad, we placed more than 500,000 ads in 2018 alone. The ads we run are in magazines and newspapers of really every shape and size that you can imagine, from the largest dailies in the U.S. to very, very small weeklies to niche publications. We are agnostic when it comes to print, right? As long as it's a legitimate publication that, you know, that comes out more or less when they say they will, we're in. We work with about 11,000 publications, and again, that's really all types of publications in every and of every shape and size. The basis, the foundation of everything we do, and this is true for paid buys as well as for the performance stuff we do, is tracking the ad results. It's critical. We've done whole teleseminars on it before, and if you take nothing away from this teleseminar, the thing that you really should understand is that tracking the ad results for the ads that you're running in your publication provides an enormous tool for you that really can be very beneficial. About 85% of the ads that we currently run are performance-based ads, and about 15 are just straight-up paid buys. But regardless of the type, we always track every ad that we do. And by tracking, I mean the most common thing that we do is we put a unique 800 number in, and this allows us to determine exactly how many people are responding to an ad, when they're responding, where the caller is from, how long they spend on the phone. It really gives us an insight into the type of caller that is responding to an ad and exactly what that ad is producing. The other sort of primary way that we track ads is through a unique URL. This is something which is really interesting. You know, 3-4 years ago, unique URLs just didn't generate that much response. Whereas today, they for some campaigns, they can be a very, very significant contributor to response. We've seen a huge jump in the number of people who are willing to take a print ad and then type, you know, go online and type in a unique URL. I don't know if that's because more people are doing it on their phone or if it's because there's just more people who are, you know, comfortable with doing it in general, but it seems to be a really viable way of tracking results now. So, you know, I mentioned the phone numbers. We use a lot of unique phone numbers. We use about, you know, in 2018, we used over 100,000 unique phone numbers. It's a little bit less than the total number of ads we place because in some cases we can kind of geographically target them. So we have, you know, an ad that's running in Arizona, we might use the same phone number for an ad that we run in Massachusetts, right? Where, because we can determine where the callers are from, we know who's responding to what ad. But unique 800 numbers, as you're going to see through the course of this call, are just an absolutely irreplaceable tool when it comes to tracking print results and determining what's really going on, you know, what's really going on with ads. You know, our main reason for tracking results, and it's not because, you know, just some love of trying to figure out what's going on with print ads, but the main reason why we do it is so that we can sell more, right? We have to track because all of our competition does. And we consider our competition to be companies like Google and Facebook and Bing and, you know, anyone who's selling online ads and providing a tracking mechanism to an advertiser is essentially a competitor of ours because all of those online mediums are providing ready-made tracking for the advertiser. And we'll get into a little later sort of, you know, some of the nuts and bolts of that, but it's important to realize that in order to compete with these types of companies and with the advertising opportunities that exist, you have to be able to provide information that is, you know, that is corresponding to what these other companies are showing. So we do that through 800 numbers. You know, there's other ways of doing it, but I think that that for us, the phone numbers tend to be the most lucrative way of doing it. We really don't have much competition in print. We're sort of the only ones who are doing it at this scale. And again, we do it primarily to move ad dollars back into print. And we do it by showing advertisers what their ads are producing. We'll get into some of the actual advertisers that we're running. But in 2018, we ran ads for about 77 advertisers, a relatively small number. But we turned down a lot of advertisers. We're looking for specific things when it comes to what we're going to offer publications on a pay for response basis. We very often, we'll talk to an advertiser three or four times before we decide whether or not we're going to run their ad. And we're looking for some things that are going to be beneficial for publications, right? We're looking for, you know, what's the offer in the ad? You know, is it a competitive offer that's going to make people want to respond? Are they going to let us track results? Are they going to be, you know, sometimes when you get into the health field or the insurance field, because of HIPAA laws, it can be a little bit trickier as far as tracking results. But you know, as long as we can get that basic information, we can figure out what's going on with an ad. We're looking for, you know, an advertiser that fits the demographics of the print audience. We're advertising in an enormous number of publications, so we have to make some generalizations, you know, far more generalizations than you would need to for your individual publication. But in general, you know, print skews older. So we're looking for advertisers that fit that type of audience. And we're also looking for the type of advertiser who's going to value a response appropriately. There's lots and lots of companies out there that are doing response-based advertising, doing it online and just trying to get the lowest price they can. And we'll get into in a minute why print should be getting, you know, so much more than really any other medium. But we're always sort of advocating for a higher price for publications. One of the things that we, you know, in terms of determining what an advertiser should pay, is what's value of a response, you know, and this is something that I think is true whether or not you're selling paid advertising or response-based advertising on a local level or a national level. And that is, you know, these are all sort of, you know, pieces of information which I think are critical to having a successful ad campaign in print. First and foremost, what we want to know from a new advertiser is what's the lifetime value of a customer? right? What does it look? What happens to a customer after they make that initial purchase? Is it a one-off purchase, like maybe if you're selling pools, or is it an ongoing purchase, like if you're selling flowers, right? Is it something that people are going to buy every month, every year, you know, three times a year? You know, how often is that person likely to buy? You know, what's the relative profit margin of the service that's being offered? You know, there's some companies that we deal with that can spend, you know, $3,000 for a, you know, an $8,000 purchase. There's other companies that we deal with that can only pay, you know, $40 for a $50 purchase. I mean, the profit margins of the different, you know, products or services, you know, really can vary quite a bit. You know, and the other big factor when we're considering an advertiser is the offer in the ad. What exactly is being sold, and is it competitive? One of the things which is really true about print is that print consumers tend to really shop around. So if you have an offer in an ad that's not competitive or you know, another medium has something which is better than you know, lower price or, you know, whatever it might be, you know, it's gotta be competitive or it just won't pull results. We see this over and over again. You know, with for example, you know, if an advertiser uses Groupon, they're basically dead to us for, you know, for an extended period of time. You know, we can talk more about Groupon, but, you know, the deal with Groupon tends to be Groupon takes 50% of the sale, and, you know, and so they offer, you know, deeply, deeply discounted products or services. And so if we can't get something that's competitive with that or better than it, then we just won't run the ad. And then there's a certain amount of just sort of guesswork when it comes to whether or not we think the product or service is gonna resonate with the demographics of you know, for the average print publication. Do you wanna add anything, Ernest?
Yeah,
I don't wanna monopolize things.
Listen, the pieces that, you know, that you're talking about here, it is all of you are listening to Jed, and he's kind of rolling along and talking about the kinds of things like lifetime value. We need to know that for every one of our advertisers and prospective advertisers. We need to know it in the category. Jed, I'll often talk about the example of, you know, RV dealerships, right? You know, a big purchase. How long does it take to make that purchase? How long is a person, how many times are they going to come back and drive again and drive that RV? How far are they willing to drive to go out and seek other RV dealers or get better pricing? Does an RV dealer care if it's a new sale versus an old sale, right? I mean, these are all the things. You know, what's most profitable? Is it the profitability of the RV transaction? How important is the service on the back end? These are the kinds of things that we want to know. And Jed, as you say, and then how often are they willing to come back? I might be buying an RV today. I may not come back for, I don't know, is it 3 years or 5 years or 10 years? That's different if you're a local retailer. I may come in your store three times this week. Totally different experience all the way around. Let's go ahead and weave in a couple of questions if we could, Jed. One of the questions that came in is from Kathleen in Georgia. And she asks about how to get people to respond to email campaigns to inquire about taking ads, you know, sort of the use of email campaigns to prospect. You want to just say a few words about that?
Sure. I mean, you know, a little bit later in the TEL seminar, I'm going to talk about, you know, our approach, but our approach is really data-driven. And so we don't think about selling ads as really a real estate-based transaction in terms of buying, you know, a set amount of space or a set amount of, you know, for a set amount of times. We really think about it like we have access to these customers and we can prove it, right? We can show you based on previous campaigns that we've done, that if you're looking to sell, you know, something to, you know, for example, you know, senior homeowners, right? We know what we've done for Acorn stair lifts, right? We know what we've done for walk-in tubs, right? We can make a relatively solid estimate on what we can produce for any, you know, for almost any vertical. So in terms of, you know, how to get an advertiser to buy, you know, through something like an email, I mean, my approach would be less about, you know, here's a deal on an amount of space, and more, you know, we think we could, you know, dramatically increase your sales. And we think that, you know, and here's why. Here's a few things that we've done for a couple other customers, and, you know, it's, you know, our readers are valuable customers that you need access to. That would be my approach.
And it sounds like, Jed, you're going to cover that a little later as well. So, Kathleen, we hope that's helpful, and we appreciate the question. And then we have Barbara from Massachusetts who said, is it possible to win back industries that have sort of moved away from print, namely real estate or those in the job wanted classified section? You want to talk about those for a second, Jed?
Sure. I mean, I think that real estate and jobs are two difficult sectors only because they're sort of self-fulfilling prophecy sectors, right? In a sense that, you know, no one wants to be the only real estate ad in a publication or the only employment ad in a publication. They seem to gain some momentum by being around others who are also advertising similar products, which is weird, right? It's really sort of the only two examples that I can think of off the top of my head that advertisers want to be with other advertisers who are selling the same stuff they are. But in general, right, I would sort of come back to the same point, and it's kind of my answer for a lot of print questions, and that is that, you know, prove it, right? I think if you can have an employment ad that gets 25 responses, and you can say to someone else who is thinking about, you know, a similar type of advertisement, hey, look, you know, we had an advertiser who bought a small ad and got 25 responses last week. I mean, those types of numbers, I think, are going to mean a lot more than you think. And the reason why they'll mean a lot more than you'll think is because the responses that come from print are inherently more valuable than the responses that come from almost any other medium, and way more valuable than the responses that come from online advertising. I mean, I might as well jump into this now, talk about, you know, our top advertiser for the year, which was a senior dental insurance company, which you wouldn't think that it would generate so much response. But our top advertiser for 2018 was a senior dental insurance company. It generated 78,492 phone calls in 2018 with a 70% close rate, meaning that 70% of the people who called requested the information packet, that's their normal sales process. So someone calls, they get an information packet, and then the information packet gets sent out, and then they follow up to make the final sale. We had another 41,000 people fill out the online web forms, and these online web forms, again, are pretty basic, but it was a big number for us to see that many people jumping from print to online. So the interesting thing about this advertiser, and they're a big insurance company, so, you know, they're not doing anything different with our leads than they are with anyone else's, but they've told us that 32% of the people who receive the information packet as a result of print ads ended up becoming a customer. So they generated about 35,000 new paying customers as a result of print in 2018 alone. So 32% that bought as a result of receiving the packet is an astounding number, right? It is a number that you virtually would never find a number like that online. It's hard to overstate how valuable the print leads that this company and other companies that we work with, and my guess is that companies you work with too, it's hard to overstate how valuable the print leads really are in comparison to other mediums. You know, according to Google, the average conversion rate for search is 3.17%. So Google defines that as an action. So if you want someone to sign up for a newsletter, or if you want someone to make a purchase, right, Google is saying that across all of their search terms, 3.17% of the people who click end up converting, right, as opposed to our average, which is about 41-42%, right? So you can see that the enormous difference in the value. But keep in mind that when Google throws out around numbers like 3.17%, they really, you know, it's a little bit skewed because they're including in that, you know, sectors that are really specific to search engines, things like dating or, you know, or romance, like that kind of stuff is sort of, you know, drives a lot of the search numbers. The conversion rate for dating, for example, is about 10%. The conversion rate for insurance, according to Google, is 1.19%. So 1.19% for a senior dental insurance campaign like what we're running. So to put that into context and to use some numbers, the average conversion rate for a Google display ad, right, which is you know, banner ads and the display ads they put on the side, is even less, right? It's 0.46%. And the average click-through rate on banner ads is even less than 0.1%. It's like almost unmeasurable. It's hard to overstate how much more valuable the print ads are. So to put it in context, I looked up the search engine costs for the dental insurance company that we're working with that I mentioned earlier. The cost to be in the first page of Google is $9 per click for senior dental insurance. So if 100 people call our dental insurance ad from a print publication, it means that based on the numbers I gave you earlier, about 22.4 out of those 100 will end up becoming actual customers, actual paying customers. So they get 100 calls from print ads, and when all is said and done, they send out their information, they follow up, about 22 of those people will become actual customers. If 100 people click on their Google search ad for dental insurance, about 1.1 of those people will request information. And out of that, using the same rate as what we're seeing, it means that less than one person, like 0.3 people, will actually become a customer. So it would take them 6,400 clicks to generate the same number of customers that our dental insurance client gets from 100 responses to a print ad. If you assume $9 per click, which was the going rate as of this morning, it fluctuates, but you know, as of this morning, it was $9 per click, it would cost them $57,000 to generate 22.4 customers using AdWords, right? In print, the same 22 customers cost about $1,000. And these are not unusual results. These are results that are similar, I guarantee, to what your customers are seeing. So in terms of, you know, in terms of how do you position print against online, right? This is how, right? This is how you do it. You do it by gathering the numbers and showing people that the money that they're spending online is far less less efficient than the money that they're spending in print. We see this over and over again with campaigns. This is not you know, the senior dental market is not some aberration. You know, Omaha Steaks, for example, had a conversion rate in 2018 of calls to sales of 42%. So, I mean, it's hard to even believe those numbers when you think about it in an internet context. But 42% of the people who call Omaha Steaks as a result of a print ad end up buying. Right, you can't, you know, there's not an online company out there that can come close to those kinds of numbers. It's not even, you know, it's like you're comparing, you know, to a different planet. You know, Dish and DirecTV, the two of our sort of most long-standing customers, they both have conversion rates that are lower than something like Omaha Steaks of about 25%. Again, outstanding by internet standards. I mean, unheard of by internet standards. By our standards, it's disappointing, and I think it has more to do with the satellite industry and what's going on there, and some of the migration from pay TV to free TV than it does anything else. But again, 25% is an outstanding number. About 65% of the people who call for walk-in bathtubs book an appointment, right? So we run walk-in bathtub campaigns. Again, this is sort of our sweet spot, kind of, you know, seniors with homes. And about 65% of the people who call for walk-in bathtubs book an appointment. That is a number that is, you know, just unheard of in other mediums. For Acorn Stairlifts, they converted about 50% of those of their calls, you know, for appointments, and about 12% of their appointments end up becoming sales. So, you know, so print is a really, really powerful medium for many, many advertisers, you know, but the challenge is that print does not have the built-in tracking mechanisms that many of these other mediums do. I'm convinced that alone is one of the biggest deterrents for advertisers using print, more than shrinking circulations and or anything else. It has to do with being able to see exactly what ads are costing.
And if I can just insert just for a second, and then we'll move to our question, the second point that we agreed to cover here, Jed. You know, you make a great point about this tracking piece, and you also shared as part of your prep who is reading print and responding to those ads. You said it skewers, as part of your research, to an older 55-plus. Print readers are more likely to own their own homes. Print readers are more likely to have jobs to be employed than those watching TV or responding to banner ads, and they're more informed and typically higher educated. So all the way around, it's a wonderful audience from that perspective, and really the challenge is the tracking side. Let's move to the second part, though, because we also promised to talk about the effectiveness of ads placed, color, ad size, ad frequency, and so forth. Can we take a dive into some of the research on that side as well, please?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's so one of the things that's kind of cool, right? We're always trying to figure out the magic formula. You know, what ad size is going to produce the most results on what day. Mondays and Tuesdays are our biggest days. We get more response on Mondays and Tuesdays than any other day of the week. I know that flies in the face of traditional publication beliefs. Where in most cases they'll tell you, you know, Wednesdays or Thursdays are the best. We get the most results on Mondays and Tuesdays, and I don't know why. One of the things that we I'm going to give you some bullet point sort of interesting things that we found. But I will say that, you know, there's two things that sort of cloud this data a little bit. And one is that it's very, very difficult to compare publication A to publication B, both running the same size ad on a Monday, because there's no way for us to really take into account the content that's going around it. Maybe there's an interesting article that, you know, publication A has placed our ad next to, and it's just going to drive more response because more people are seeing it. Maybe publication B, puts the ad in a less desirable section next to an article that fewer people want to read. So it's a little bit, you know, so I understand the limitations of the science behind it, and so take it for what it's worth. The other thing that can kind of cloud the data a little bit is circulation numbers. You know, we're constantly sort of fighting against readership. So a lot of publications, and I understand why, but a lot of publications will use a readership number where they use a multiple of their true printed circulation as an indicator of how many people are actually seeing the publication. You know, this in a paid buy context, I understand the rationale for doing it. You know, the bigger the circulation, the more money you can get. In a response based context, however, it works the opposite way, right? Because now, instead of being a you know, for example, a 3,000 circulation publication that can generate, you know, one response for every 300 copies printed, you become a 15,000 circulation publication that's generating fewer response per 1,000. So it doesn't look as good. So you know, that can skew the data a little bit as well. You know, because there's really, like many things in print, there's many different ways that different individual publications or companies handle both those numbers. So the average, so just to get into some of these you know, granted potentially flawed numbers, but they're our best estimate. You know, one of the things which is interesting is that we find that response rates grow for the first 5 insertions of any ad running in any publication. However, after about the 5th insertion, the response rates rarely will increase or decrease by more than 8%. And we have ads that have been running in some publications literally for decades, and they do not fluctuate by more than a couple percentage points every week, every month. Literally, I mean, they're like an annuity. You know, they're as steady as can be, and I don't understand it, right? I mean, I don't understand, you know, why there's such a consistent number of people who want a static product or service in any given market, but it appears to be the case. Another thing, so you know, out of all the ads we place, right, we generate about 4 responses per ad we place. So every ad that we place tends to generate about 4 responses on average. There are about 812 publications that used us in 2018 that have averages of 14 responses or more per ad placed. And there's about 1,300 publications that generate an average of less than 1 response per ad placed. And it's very, very difficult to determine why it is some publications do dramatically better than other publications that circulation-wise, geographic-wise, demographic-wise appear to be almost identical. You know, a daily newspaper, to use it as an example, a daily newspaper, you know, of 15,000 circulation in Alabama will have dramatically different results than a 15,000 daily circulation paper in Mississippi, right? Demographically, economically, they're similar areas, but there are just some papers and magazines out there that people really, really read closely. And I don't know how to really put a, to formalize it. But you can see from the results that there are just some publications that people read very closely and others that they don't. And I think that that's one of the biggest things that publications can do to, I mean, it sounds obvious, but that publications can do to be successful. And that is that, you know, they need to have people reading the publication, right? You gotta give them something interesting to read. And I think that varies by community, it varies by industry, it varies by niche. But there's definitely some publications out there that are doing a better job of it than others. We have some publications that have a fraction of the circulation, of some of the bigger, regional or national or big metro publications, and they outperform them 5-1. And they do that, I think, because their readers are just that much more engaged. So it's if anyone has any ideas about how to formalize that, we'd love to hear it, because we always struggle with how do you measure engagement. As far as color, we get a lot of questions about whether color ads are worth it. We see about a 14% difference in results from a color ad to a black and white. Color outperforms black and white by about 14%. Overall, color ads do better. They do dramatically better for some types of products, such as food products. Omaha Steaks, for example, no one wants to look at a black and white picture of meat. Color ads for Omaha Steaks outperform black and white by about 31%. And there's an orange company that we do a lot with that sells different citrus products. And they also do dramatically better when it comes to color. We are big fans of classified ads. People roll their eyes when we talk about classifieds, but classifieds for us generated about 28% of our total results. And one of the things which is really interesting, I think, is that in a lot of cases, the classified ads appear to have a completely different audience than the display audience. So, for example, I mentioned earlier how, we see the results of a display ad sort of plateau after about 5 insertions. With classified ads, if we put a classified ad in a publication that has been running, Dish Network is an example, that has been running Dish, if we put a Dish classified in, we'll get a whole different set of phone calls from that classified ad that doesn't appear to detract at all from the display ad. So it appears that the kind of people who respond to classified ads, are a completely different subset than the people who are responding to display ads, which, I throw that out because I oftentimes think that it's if you're concerned about, advertisers that you're selling to and the response that they're getting, classified ads can become a very economical and effective way of driving more results. Without asking someone to spend an enormous amount more. We get a lot of questions about ad sizes and what ad sizes are the most effective. We find that quarter pages tend to be the sweet spot for us. For most of the products and services that we're advertising, quarter pages tend to be the most effective. Half pages get about 11% more response than quarter pages, and full pages get at 19% more response than quarter pages. I know this isn't great news if your half pages are double the price of your quarter pages and your full pages are double the price of your half pages, but that's just I mean, but then again, we also We're also going for a lot of insertions. So we don't, you know, these aren't one-off ads. And so, you know, we're running them 15, 20, 30 times. So it may be that, you know, if someone is running less frequency, the larger ads, you know, do have a better response rate. But for our purposes, their you know, quarter pages seem to really be the sweet spot. I think that, you know, this type of information is going to be different for us than it is for your individual publication. But this is just an example of the kind of information that, you know, that you can derive for your advertisers, you know, if you're tracking the data and if you're gathering information and figuring out what specifically is happening with each advertiser and each ad that you're placing.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Let me just also jump in here, Jed. We had questions from Laura from Colorado about how do you track results for a print ad. We're hoping today's teleseminar has addressed that piece. Bridget in Florida about overcoming the objection about do print ads still work? Well, listen to the stats and information that Jed is sharing here. David from Texas, why people still seek print today. Again, you're hearing the backstory to what, you know, sort of imagine that Jed has literally tens and tens and thousands of ads on his left. Is it all these inbound calls coming in on the right? He has the most unique vantage point of anybody I've ever seen, any company, thought leader, or media expert. It's unbelievable. I think any of us would literally salivate to be at his keyboard, to be able to see what he's seeing, and that's what you're hearing in his presentation. The last part that we promised to cover here, Jed, relates to sort of making a sales presentation to attract larger advertisers, right? So how about saying... let's talk about that as we come around the bend, wrapping up our teleseminar. What are the keys?
I think that the first thing is that there are so many advertising options out there that the days of being sort of a general advertising answer for any advertiser those days are gone. So the way we approach it is, you know, we try to be very upfront with advertisers about the type of audience that's reading print. And it's nothing to be ashamed of, right? I mean, the slightly older, you know, homeowner is, you know, with a job is a great person to market to. Print, I think, oftentimes does itself a disservice by trying to sort of be all things to all people. And, so I would be as upfront as you possibly can with potential advertisers about the type of people who are reading your publication. We sort of subscribe to the attitude that we're not selling print, right? We're not selling real estate. We're not selling, you know, ad space per se. We're selling an audience. We're selling response. We're selling an audience that is able to make purchases and is more likely to make purchases than in any other medium. We're very picky about advertisers, and we run through sort of a series of questions. I'm gonna give you sort of our top questions that we're looking for. First and foremost, you know, we want to know what a product costs. Is it $10,000? Is it $10? Right? Because it matters a lot as to how effective it'll be. How much is it for sale in other places? You know, if you do an internet search on a product, you know, can you find a better deal on it? You know, on Amazon. That's a big one, right? And we just won't run an ad that's offering a better deal in another medium. It kills response. you know, how many responses does it take for an advertiser to generate a sale? This is the conversion rate, you know, we spoke about earlier. But, you know, if it's the kind of product that takes, you know, 100 responses to generate one sale, then, you know, it better be a really, really high-priced product. You know, how many online responses does it take to generate a sale? So, you know, one of the things that we want to know is how what are we competing against, right? I mean, if someone is able to, you know, and based on the numbers I shared earlier, it's unlikely, but if someone's able to generate, you know, one sale for every two clicks that they get online, right, we can't compete with that. But the odds are very low that that's the case. I mean, I don't know any examples of that. But, you know, we want to know what the conversion rate is online. And we want to know it, right, mostly so that we can prove to people how much more effective their print budget is than other mediums. The conversion rate online isn't going to really change anything that we do, but what it's going to change is when someone says, you know, it's, you know, when we say, hey, do you want to spend more money? And they say, no, thanks. And we say, huh, that's funny, because we generated, you know, we generated $1,000 worth of sales for $500 worth of advertising, and, you know, and online you're spending $2,000 for, you know, $100 worth of sales. I mean, you know, we want to be able to compare apples to apples, and we can only do that by getting information from them about what they're doing in other mediums. So I think it's okay to ask, and I think that print publications oftentimes are way, way too timid about pressing advertisers for what they're doing in other mediums and how it is that they're working. You know, you should find out from them, you know, are they using AdWords? Are they using Facebook? You know, if they are using those platforms, then it's super easy to find out what they're paying, right? Because you just look at what keywords, you know, do a couple searches, figure out what keywords they're using, and look and just go and see what those keywords cost. You know, how does an advertiser track their sales? How do they handle their sales leads? How long does it take for someone to make a purchase? How long does a customer last, the lifetime value we talked about earlier? You know, have they done Groupon, right? Because if they've done, you know, all these are sort of litmus tests, right? If someone's done Groupon, you know that they're willing to pay 50% of the cost of goods. You know, if they, you know, how many sales is it going to take for them to consider your campaign in any publication to be successful? You know, getting all this information up front allows you to provide data that can support what it is that their expectations are. And 99% of the time, if you're able to do that, right, if you're able to show them that, hey, you generated this response and you were hoping for this and you told me this was your conversion rate, so therefore I think you made money. If you can have that kind of conversation, it completely changes the dynamic of the sales approach, right? No longer are you hoping that they'll renew or hoping that they'll take another ad or a bigger ad or whatever you're trying to get them to do. Now it's just a question of, you know, we can generate you even more customers if you do this. And it works. And it's the way that more and more advertisers think about the world. You know, if the success of these online platforms have taught us anything, it's that, you know, the expectations of advertisers have changed, and by using some pretty rudimentary tools, print can compete and can deliver an even higher value product than they're getting online.
And that really is the key. As we come around the bend and we wrap up this teleseminar, you know, we have to know our advertisers' business. We have to know the jargon. We have to know their measurables. We have to know their tracking. We want to know what they're doing in various media and mediums. And these are pieces that have never changed in the world of advertising and ad sales. And then we have to be on the other side. You know, if I'm out selling to RV dealers or I'm out selling to chiropractors, Jed, I'm going to know everything about that space. I'm going to know, I'm going to be a member of my chiropractor association. I'm going to be working on white papers. I'm going to be speaking at panels. I'm going to be writing about the space and marketing and advertising, but I'm going to know everything. I'm going to know all the chiropractors by name, you know, and I'm going to be able to, you know, state back to Kathleen's question, hey, listen, I'm reaching out to you because we're already working with, you know, 96 of the chiropractors in the city of Atlanta or in the city or I'm working with every RV dealership in Calgary. Whatever it might be, I want to be the go-to source. I want to be the thought leader. I want to own the space and sector. So that's about a relationship and about your messaging and your branding. It's so much more than the transaction of just the buy. No doubt, you know, there is a buy transaction related to what Jed does, MediaBids does, and the way they generate ad results. But listen to all the other data that Jed and his team know about what they're doing out there, the buys that are being done strategically, the results that are coming back on the other side, and you likewise have to know your media and your mediums cold. That's never changed, Jed. Know what you do well, know what competitors are doing, and then be able to draw on those comparisons. Jed, we have covered so much information. I so look forward every single year that you've come in and share these. I'm always at the edge of my seat. I've got 2.5 pages of notes of things that I'm making notes along the way. We're hoping all of you likewise have enjoyed the information that Jed is sharing. You will never, all caps, come to a presentation, come to a teleseminar of any kind and listen to this kind of information unless it's Jed that's presenting it. It's fantastic. Take the time, for those of you that already work with MediaBids, you know what they do and what they generate. For those of you that have not, take the time to go look at MediaBids and reach out to them to learn more about how they can work with you and help you and your publications. And then, of course, take a look at Power Hour and the work that we do, namely our Sales Academy that we host every single Tuesday. Similar to what we do here, we come in together like this, but it's open mic. We field each and all of your questions every single week live. Jed, any closing words before we wrap up for this week?
No, I mean, if anyone has any questions or comments about anything that I went over, you know, feel free to send me an email or, you know, go to MediaBids.com. All our contact information is there. You know, give me a call. We're always happy to discuss it.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Jed, thank you so much.
You know,
and to each of you and all of you, we'll see you next month. Take care.
Yep. Thanks for joining.